There are a lot of things going on in the world today. We can be troubled really easy. Jesus, remember in John 14, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." In a time when any of the people he was talking to were facing the experience of a total upheaval in anything they'd ever seen. So, Chad, thank you for this. Chad said, "What are you talking about?" So I was sitting in the choir and still preparing what I was going to say. And I looked at Chad Kane and I said, "Oh, that's a really good point. It's not that you look funny or anything, it's just that." Chad is a contractor. He does a lot of different kinds of work. And I know that as a contractor, one of the things you get into when you start remodeling old homes, even new, if there's been damage, you know, you can go in there and fix a wall, and 5 years later, you get in trouble because it's not right, because something was wrong with the foundation. So as he gets into it, he's going to check out. He's going to crawl under that house. He's going to look. He's going to see if those boards are good. And if it needs fixing, he's going to fix the foundation before he starts building on it. For those of us who have Jesus Christ in our hearts, we have a foundation, a solid foundation that Jesus is on. However, he allows us to build on that foundation. And guys, if you want a house, you better ask Chad. If you ask me, yours is going to look a lot. Is this not on?
Green light would be better. All right. So, thanks, Sheila. If we're going to build a house, you don't want me. It's going to look a lot like one of my chicken houses because that's all I can do. It's not going to be very nice. And the problem is down the road, the foundation starts telling. It starts showing up. And so many of us live in a place where because we're unsure of our foundation, we quit building as believers. Do you want to switch places with me? Do you want to come up and talk right now? Can you? Would you? Some of you would smooth pass out. I know you. If that even came up. Guys, I get to talk in front of people every day, but y'all are a little different than the kids I see. That's okay. The deacons met Tuesday night, and we were talking about a lot of things, and we have some concerns for this body of believers. This is called Rocky Point Baptist Church. Some great concerns. And so that's been on my heart, to say the least. And one of the things that we talked about, that as we talked through a lot of things, is, you know, I'm no good to you as a believer if I'm not right with God. And that goes for every one of you in this room. If you think you are less responsible than Brett Martin every day of the week, you are wrong. Satan is lying to you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you are not using your gifts in this body of believers, you are wrong. That is sin. It is not okay to casually serve God. Go back and read the story of Uzzah as they move the cart. He casually reaches up to steady it, and God strikes him dead because he forgot who he was. He forgot who God was. And there are a lot of us who go through different points in our Christian life when, guys, we are not building anymore. We quit building on our foundation. And it's not okay. It's not okay. If you don't maintain a house, what happens to it? It falls down around you. And it's no good when the storms come. I think Jesus had a parable or two about that. So as I was thinking about, you know, not long ago, I hit Psalm 51 because I said, if you want to get right with God, you're going to have to do what God says do. We try a lot of things. You can't come to church more and please God. You can't sing in the choir and please God. Sometimes when we sing, it doesn't please anybody. No joke. But you can't. You can't give more and it please God. Okay? You can't go on a mission trip and it please God if your heart is not right. And too many of us get sucked into that game because we see people as we're growing as believers, and we think that's what you do. You just do what they do. Now, maybe you're right, and maybe you're wrong. It depends on who you're watching. Okay? David. David is one of the most developed characters we have in Scripture. We know about David's life. David started off as a little shepherd boy. He was the eighth son, so David had nothing. Understand, the oldest son got everything. They'd give a little bit to the others, and David's life was largely dependent on what his oldest brother was going to decide to do when his father died. He's out watching sheep, and God, through an orchestration of events, gets him in front of a giant, in front of the armies of Israel and Philistia, and David being David and not knowing any better than to believe that God could do what he said he could do becomes a national figure in a matter of minutes. And all he did was throw a rock. You know what I mean? And the next thing you know, David's name is on everybody's lips. He becomes a musician for Saul because Saul had some spiritual issues and the music calmed him. But we forget this because it's much better to draw little pictures of cute little shepherd boys than it is to draw a picture of a warrior. David becomes Saul's armor bearer. Do y'all know what that means? In battle, David got in front of Saul. Okay? He wasn't just walking around like a utility rack. He had a sword. David was a soldier. He was a warrior. Everything he did, God just blessed it. And he becomes the one they're singing the songs about. David's killed his 10,000, Saul his 1,000, and Saul gets jealous of David and realizing that God has chosen David over him. Saul, the next years of David's life are spent on the run. And Saul's trying to kill him, and David doesn't want to hurt Saul. It's just a story if you read it. And he goes, and eventually Saul and several of his sons fall on the battlefield, and David becomes king in Hebron, and then later, 7 years later or so, he becomes king over all the tribes. And he goes from being a little shepherd boy to being a very secure king. He's a warrior. God uses David to carve out the land of Israel, just one victory after another, miracle after miracle, from a little band of Israelites, then they just become, just nobody can touch them. So David is secure. And when we're secure, we get complacent. If a church body is not growing, they're secure and complacent. And I don't know another way to say it. Okay? It feels good. Air conditioner's working. Nice seats. It's cool. We're good. I'm not throwing stones. I'm just telling you. This works. David got secure. God blessed that man unbelievably because David followed him. Now, where did David follow him? 90% of David's stuff was in the battle. That's where God blessed David. God would not let David build the temple, remember? That isn't what I want you to do. You got blood on your hands, and I put it there. I led you into the battles. And you did exactly what I told you to do. This is my plan for your life, not my plan for your son's life, okay? He said, so we're good. So David's sitting at home, and I remember reading this verse. First time I caught it as a teenager after I'd asked Jesus into my heart, and it said, in the spring, when the kings went to war, David stayed home. And I remember the Holy Spirit just throwing a flag right there. Just pay attention, Bruce. Pay attention. David should have gone where David was supposed to go. David was supposed to go to battle. David stayed home. David sees Bathsheba bathing on the roof. David gets into an adulterous affair, turns into all kind of murder, just a terrible, terrible time in David's life. And David thinks he gets away with it in a way. He just kind of doesn't do anything. If you're not careful when you read the story of David in this time of his life, you think that it's immediate after she has that baby. It's about closer to 2 years. This is not a baby. This is a child. His friend Nathan, the prophet, God tells Nathan, you need to go talk to David. This has happened. And he gives him a beautiful story that's not very beautiful in the end. It's about a sheep, because he knows David's going to go to that. And poor man had a sheep, and rich man killed the sheep and ate it, even though he had a bunch of sheep. And David gets so upset. And the words that are probably as condemning as any in the Bible, Nathan looks at his friend and said, David, that's you. Thou art the man, in King James. And David goes, reality is here. So many of us in our lives, we run into different things. Death of loved ones, financial things don't work out like we wanted them to. Health isn't exactly what we wished it was today. Somebody we love seems to have turned away from the Lord. And we have choices. We have to make choices constantly through this. What are we going to do with our minds? And what are we going to do with Jesus in our lives at that point? Is he going to be mighty? Is he going to be loving? Is he going to be everything he is? Or are we going to get mad at God and just close down? I'm one of those people that closes down. Sheila doesn't say anything. I'll wall up and you can't hurt me. Well, that's wrong. Some of you blow up. David, wow, David did good. He wrote Psalm 51 during this time, and this is what it says. So we're going to read Psalm 51 and then we'll come back through. It said, I hope this is the same. Let's see. Hit that verse 1 and let me see if it's the same version or not. Okay, we're good. Be gracious to me, God, according to your faithful love, according to your abundant compassion. Blot out my rebellion. Wash away my guilt and cleanse me from my sin, for I am conscious of my rebellion, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you alone, I have sinned and done this evil in your sight. So you are right when you pass sentence. You are blameless when you judge. Indeed, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me. Surely, you desire integrity in the inner self, and you teach me wisdom deep within. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Turn your face away from my sins and blot out all of my guilt. God, create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation to me and give me a willing spirit. Then I will teach the rebellious your ways, and sinners will return to you. Save me from the guilt of bloodshed, God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not want a sacrifice, or I would give it. You are not pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifice pleasing to God is a broken spirit. God, you will not despise a broken and humbled heart. And I'm going to stop there. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done. Now, let's take that from a negative point of view. I don't care if you are a former alcoholic or a present alcoholic. I don't care about adultery. Anybody murdered anybody, have you? I don't care. If you cheated everybody you ever known with money, are you too far away from God's grasp to be saved? And the answer is no. Well, I don't care how many Sunday school classes you've taught, how many Bible school classes you did, how many cups of Kool-Aid you poured, how many nights you've been up here doing, none of that matters to God initially. So if you're depending on your good to be good with God, you are flat broke. There's nothing in your wallet and no card's going to work. If you think you're too bad to come to Jesus Christ, you're just as broke. Because he doesn't care. Every sin was nailed to that cross. Every sin was defeated when that stone rolled away. He paid the price in full. So do not go down to that either. Do not let your self-condemnation and your self-righteousness outweigh the truth of God's Word. And how many of us fight that? I do. I can beat myself up better than you ever could. I got proof right now. But I'm just saying, I can tear myself up mentally and spiritually and emotionally like nobody else. And you're like, well, Bruce, you're kind of preaching. That doesn't sound right. Well, all right. We all got problems. We all have things that bring us to the foot of Jesus or not. They're either going to drive us to his feet or they're going to drive us away. And that's our choice. That's our choice. So David did it right. David is king. He could have had Nathan killed on the spot. You're going to talk to me that way. And he could have pointed old Jehoiada and pointed, chop his head. He was good at that. Just read your Bible. He could have killed him right on the spot. But he just, boom. And he writes Psalm 51. When he's thinking about, what am I supposed to do? So let's look at that real quick, and let's see what we got. In verse 1 through 3, how do you approach God? I don't care who you are and what your spiritual status is, this is a good way to approach God every time. Because he is the omnipotent power of the universe. We have no business coming before him on our own. None. Jesus is the only reason we get to come into the throne room of God. And he walks with us, thank God. How does David start? He does not start saying, I'm king, let's talk, let's cut a deal, see what I have to offer you, and you take that. He said, give me grace and give me mercy. Be gracious to me, God, according to your faithful love, according to your abundant compassion. Blot out my rebellion. He did not tell God, I made a boo-boo, I messed up, I really didn't mean to. He said, I did wrong. I rebelled against your word. David knew it was wrong. He knew it was wrong with Bathsheba. He knew it was wrong with Uriah. He knew it was wrong to cover it up. He knew it. He called it what it was. It's rebellion. And he said, God, I just need your grace and mercy as we start this conversation. Just please, just give me your grace. So in your relationship with God, if your relationship is not right, that's a really good starting point. Just tell God, I need grace, I need mercy. Because I have nothing else to offer that would make you listen. Nothing. In verse 3, he said, I'm conscious of my rebellion, and my sin is always before me. David had been living for almost 2 years out of God's favor, and he knew it. He knew it. He said, against you and you alone I've sinned. Guys, as a believer, you got to make that leap. When you sin, if I walked up and punched Greg in the nose, even though Greg will suffer for that, for me, I have disobeyed God. That is who I went against first, because the whole time I'm walking toward Greg, the Holy Spirit inside of me is saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. So I quenched the Spirit to sin. It's serious. It's not okay. It's serious when we sin, because you're going to override the Holy Spirit every time. Never say, the devil made me do it. I couldn't help myself. That is a lie, because the Holy Spirit's main job is to intercede between the throne of God and us as we walk our lives. Don't blame the Holy Spirit for your sin. That's what David's saying. I did this. And I know I did it, and I slapped you in the face as I committed these sins. He didn't blame anything. He didn't justify. He didn't rationalize. He went right to where it was. My heart's messed up, God. And what you've taught me in the good times, I forgot. And I sinned. So confess your sin. Have you ever heard that before? Admit, believe, confess. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Go back and read 1 John 1:1. It's written to the church. It's written to the church. And He talks about if we say we have no sin in ourselves, we deceive ourselves. Go back and read that chapter. And David says, look, God, I totally messed up. I'm confessing my sin. What is a sin? Sin is anything that separates you from God. Anything that separates you from God is a sin. So David said, God, give me grace. Then he says, I have done wrong. I need help. Please help me. So as he goes, we need to remember who we are. If you look in verse 6 through 9, he says, surely, God, you desire integrity in the inner self. You teach me wisdom deep within. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Turn your face away from my sins and blot out all my guilt. Who am I? When I ask Jesus Christ into my heart, when I ask Jesus to become Lord of my life, and I start reading my Bible, I start learning about God. I start asking for help as I encounter things to where the fruit of the Spirit comes out in my life, love, joy, peace, patience. All that comes out. When I get into a situation when I am tempted to do something that goes against that, I need to remember who I am. And David remembered, and he said, you taught me wisdom. You gave me songs. You let my bones rejoice. And I'm glad now that I can get this pressure I've been feeling for these 2 years off of my... It's been killing me. And I want it off of me. You made me to be more than this. And guys, I'm telling everybody in this room, I don't care who you are and what you think about yourself, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, don't sell God short. Yes, you are unqualified. Don't sell God short. You remember who you are. If Kellen walked up to Michael and told him anything, Michael loves Kellen. Because Kellen's his. God gave Kellen to him. I know Michael. He would die for Kellen without even thinking about it. Jesus died for us. We don't have to wonder. He did. Remember who you are as you pray. Be honest with God in your confession, and then remind yourself who you are. So, yes, you might need your Bible at this point. You repeat God's words back to Him about how much He loves you and what He wants for you and what He desires for you. And the relationship starts restoring at that point. And then a thing that I think we all need to do often, especially when we're going through times of depression or anger or fear, these are some of the most beautiful words in the Bible. This in verse 10, God, create a clean heart for me. Create within me a new heart, a clean heart. And create a steadfast spirit within me. do not banish me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Anybody need a new heart? And don't think that because you asked Jesus into your heart and he cleansed your sins that you don't need a new heart a lot. Because we cloud it up with a lot of gunk. We need a new heart. Sometimes we can clean it off with water and sometimes God cleans it off with acid, right? It depends on us. But David wouldn't have said this if God wasn't willing to do it, y'all. Do you think God can't handle what you're bringing to him today? I don't care what it is, whether it is self-condemnation or self-righteousness. Do you think God can't create a new heart within you? Read the story of David. It worked. It worked. And God can restore, and there's nothing like restoration, is it? When things have been bad, no matter what it is. Like, okay, we'll pick a real easy example that is not even emotional. When my truck won't work and somebody restores it and fixes it, it's nice to get back in it and move. You know? Well, put that to a spiritual sense, guys. When Jesus Christ has said, he's holding me at arm's length, he still got me in his arms. You need to get your heart right. When he opens those arms back up, that's cool. That's a good feeling. That's being steadfast. Because I know now, as I do what God asked me to do, which is to fight, that I'm not on that battlefield without the full protection of God. That's a steadfast spirit. Preacher's calling at 8:53 saying, can you do a sermon? Don't really shake you that bad. Your job playing out doesn't shake you that bad. The doctor's words don't shake you that bad. That person you would rather lick a cat's nose than be around can't shake you that bad. Okay? But not if you don't follow the directions. You can't leave out a step and think it's going to work. You can't. And we do. We cut deals with God. I'll do this if. And you're already in disobedience. You just quit talking. It's over. He says, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Not mine, it's yours. God gave me that salvation. It's not mine. Because of him, I get to share it. And give me a willing spirit. So here's the thing. Rocky Point Baptist Church, those of us who are here this morning and those listening, this is convicting to me. So why would God restore me to sit on my butt in a pew? To do my little tithe, come up here and do what I do. Why? Where does that figure into the cross? Where does that figure into it? For me to do nothing but say thank you and sit down. That's complacent. And that's where 90% of the people in churches on this Sunday morning are. Because we're not changing our world. Look around you. If you can see wood, we got room to grow. There should be lost people on these pews. There should be people that are just broken and terrible, hating every minute they wake up. And we should be reaching out to them with the love of Jesus Christ. There should be people who think that God, they can't get back to God because they did wrong. At one time, they did serve him. It's convicting. I am not throwing stones. I promise you. He says, then I will teach the rebellious your ways and sinners will return to you. David wasn't saying, I'm going to keep this to myself. David said, I'm going to get back to leading my country as a godly king because I messed up and I need to tell them about it. And I need to tell them what God can do. That's why we're here still, y'all. That's why God leaves us on the earth after we ask Jesus in our hearts as Lord and Savior. That's why he leaves us, is to teach the rebellious his ways. Who was rebellious? All of us. I think Romans 3:23 covers that. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We ask for a new heart, a new way of looking at life. And then the next section, we submit to what God tells us to do next. So he says, save me from the... He says, Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. All right. The last part that I want to talk about, we covered that one. If there's a problem in our lives, if I am just being basically Pharisaical, I cover the bases, I come to church, I give, I do what people think a good deacon church guy should do. To me, that's worse than just saying I'm not going to follow God at all. It's just to me. You can let your judgment be your judgment. These next verses are the ones that are, this is for church people. This one, these are for the people who know the rules, just like David knew the rules. And this is why he writes this. He said, God, you don't, in verse 16, you don't want a sacrifice, or I would give it. Have you ever been a place in your life that it was easier just to give a little more money or to volunteer to keep nursery or whatever to make you feel like God is going to smile a little bigger at you? Rather than doing the hard thing of going to Michael and say, Michael, I am sorry, I was wrong, I sinned against you. Will you forgive me? To restore that relationship to where my relationship with Jesus would be restored. God doesn't want sacrifice. If your heart's not with it, he doesn't want it. And David said, I guarantee you David offered a lot of sacrifices, but his heart wasn't in it. He said, you are not pleased with a burnt offering. Okay, so if I cook dinner for y'all, don't say anything, Sheila, and I walk up, Anna, and I hand you a plate, and everything on it's burnt. Is that good? No. Anna's so nice, y'all. She's trying to say it nicely. No. So what are you offering on your plate this morning, Jesus Christ? What are you offering? Is there anything alive he can use? Or is it burnt and dead? What are you offering him? What am I offering him? Because that's all that's going to matter when we walk out of here and we're not in church anymore. That's all that's going to matter when that difficult person at work, they put me right by them. Had a $150 million campus, and she's right by me. And the Holy Spirit laughs at me every morning and said, you got to do it. And you know something? I better do it. Because that I may be the one that needs to tell that person about Jesus. And since I don't know that, I have to do it. Because that's why Jesus left me here. So what are you offering Jesus? You think he gives a flip about any of this? He doesn't need it. He just wants our heart. He just wants our heart. That's all. And the great thing is he'll take it like you bring it to him. He'll clean it up. To restore those verses that we just read, that's what he does. He takes wounded sheep, lost sheep, and makes a flock. And I'm glad. Because I wouldn't have been picked otherwise. So he goes on and he said, the sacrifice pleasing to God is a broken spirit. God, you will not despise a broken and humbled heart. So this morning, where are you? Where's your heart? Where's my heart? I want Rocky Point, because this is where I am. I want us to go. Matthew 28, I want us to go and tell people about Jesus. I want to be discipling people, to be stronger warriors for Jesus, to where more people can hear. That's what I want for this church, and that's it. I don't care about the facility. I don't care about what kind of worship service we do. I don't care about any of that. People are dying and going to hell, and believers are just drifting because they don't know the Word. So is your heart even broken at all, or is this something you're going to bop off and, hey, that was cool, we'll go to the next one? And that's the choice. Joshua told the children of Israel right before he was fixing to die, he said, guys, I've done all I can do for you. You either got to pick God or you're going to pick something else, because that's the only choices. It's not God and. It's just God or. If you don't, if you're like, Bruce, I don't even know what you're talking about, you might want to go to the foundation. And that's Jesus Christ. Jesus came from heaven. He lived. He died. He was perfect. He never sinned. His sacrifice on the cross is all that it takes. It is 100% sufficient for the sin of man. And if that's where you are and you do not know Jesus Christ, and you're like, Bruce, the Holy Spirit's never said a word to me, I'd think hard. Don't let Satan deceive you. Nobody in this room is going to get upset because you just realize you're lost and come to Jesus this morning. And if you get upset about somebody doing that, you might need to come too. If you don't know Jesus, nothing I said matters. Just go on. Just remember it. But lost is lost. And that's, if you don't choose to follow Jesus, he's not going to make you. But the invitation is more than open. Please come talk to me. I'm not Jesus. I do work for him, though. Believers, Rocky Point, mature believers in so many respects, are we going to make a difference? Are we just going to steady dwindle down? You say what you want to say, but look around. When I came to this church, I couldn't find a seat. I had to sit over there. I don't know whose seat I took. I'm sorry. There's a lot of seats now, and that's sad. But if we lift Jesus Christ up, we don't worry about our programs. We don't worry about anything else. No matter what we do, if the one criteria, if it's done by Rocky Point Baptist Church, it is bringing glory to Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 3, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. That's what we need to be praying. God, show me in my heart if there's anything that would hinder the Spirit from working at Rocky Point Baptist Church. And then do the next thing that he tells you. Go back to Psalm 51. It's in all your Bibles. Read it. It's not rocket science. Just do the next thing he tells you to do. And don't quit doing that till he calls us home. Keep the account clean. When you sin, confess your sin. Do what the Bible says about it. And keep going, because one sin in the camp is enough to stop the Spirit. Achan, look that up. One's enough. So this morning, I just challenge each of you as a fellow soldier in this unit that God has put together. I am not judging y'all. This is what God's been tearing me up for weeks. If we don't, nothing's going to change. Nothing. and people are going to die and go to hell. And other people are never going to be what they could have been because they don't know. But those of us who know, we'll share it. I'm still learning every day, trust me. But what I know, I'm more than willing to share. So I challenge you. Pray, pray, pray that God gives us the direction we need to go. And then pray that we have the courage and the humility to follow. Because it may be uncharted territory. Let's pray. God, I thank you today that you love us. God, I don't have no idea why you continue to love me. I feel like so obstinate and so stupid, rebellious too many times. But I thank you that because of Jesus, our sins can be cleansed. And I do pray that you do that. Create in me a new heart. God, if there's somebody here right now that is not sure if you're even in their heart, Jesus, their lives are just a wreck and things just don't work, pray that you would give them courage to either come down now or to talk to one of us here that can talk to them about Jesus and the truth. Lord, help us to be faithful to you as you lead us. Lord, just break our hearts so that we can please you and we can allow you to make a difference in the world around us as we offer you all we have. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for watching and being with us today. We're so glad you joined us, and we invite you to come back and join us next week.